views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Listening to the Psychic Professors Show, the Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes. This hit call-in show will answer any questions you have about spiritual communication through on-air readings and spirit artistry. Get ready to receive breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten your life. To say this show is educational is an understatement. Dr. Susan is the medium through which spirit communication occurs and fills the canvas of your life.
Everyone, I'm Dr. Susan Barnes, and you're listening to the Psychic Professor Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience the voices of spirit. Each week on the Psychic Professor Show, we will have some of the most knowledgeable spiritual voices. And they will help you to answer your personal spiritual questions. And I am really pleased that today I have with me Dr. Jan Vandersand, and we are going to be talking about physical phenomena. And so welcome, Jan, to the show.
Well, Susan, thank you for inviting me, and I love being with you. Thank you.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. And the first question I'm going to ask you is, how did you get interested in physical mediumship and all this different type of phenomena?
It's a long but very interesting story. So if you give me a few minutes, I'll tell you how I got involved. When I was in college, believe it or not, besides being interested in studying women and parties, I was also interested in what happens when we die. And it's not such a usual thing for people in college to think about that, but it's something I thought about. But there was very little in those days, back in the 60s. There was very little information, very few books that you can find on it. So when I got to graduate school, I still got more interested. But then I went to do my PhD in South Africa. I was here at Cornell University as I did my master's there. Then I went to South Africa to do my PhD. Believe it or not, I did my PhD on diamonds, you know, natural diamonds, and the properties of diamonds. But there, I met my wife. I met her, and we met. 3 months later, we were married. And interestingly enough, by the way, we were married for 45 years when she passed into the spirit world. But there, I found out my wife was also very interested in what happens when we die. What is this all about? Why are we here on earth? So we decided to go to some spiritualist churches on the weekends. That's all you could really do, because in South Africa, like England, they had a lot of spiritualist churches. So on the weekends, we go to some spiritualist churches, and there were some mediums there who would give messages, but for many weeks, messages were not really very good. They were poor messages. So it was very disappointing. But we did meet some other younger people, and we decided with a group of about 8 of us to form a circle and to try to develop a medium there to see if anybody could become a medium and develop the circle. One of the sitters did go into trance or partial trance, and he did some speaking in trance, but it was not all that exciting. It was at that time that my wife and I moved into a new apartment. We needed some furniture. So we went to the store right across from the university where I was studying. There was a little furniture shop. They sold pine furniture, not exactly ideal furniture, but it was cheap. So we went there and we looked around and we got a table and I sat on one of the chairs. And I said to the lady there who owned the store, I said, "Wow, these chairs are hard, but it'll keep us awake when we sit in our seance." And she turned around to me and said, "Oh, you sit in seances?" And I said, oh, yes, I really thought I was a big shot. You know, oh, yeah, we sit in seances. We're trying to develop mediums. She said, oh, she said, how would you like to come to a seance? And my wife and I looked at each other and we said to her, sure, we'd love it. Because she and her husband ran the shop. And she invited us for the following week, Wednesday, on a Wednesday night, I remember well. She said, gave us the address where to come to. And we went to their house. So that Wednesday night when it came, we went there, started at 8 o'clock. We were there promptly. And she then introduced us to there were four other people. And the two people there, one of them was the professor of anatomy at the university with his wife. So he was the professor at the university. He was invited. He'd sat with them many a time in seances. And there were two other people. So right after we got there, we walked into the seance room, which was completely darkened. There was one window which was completely taped over with black cloth and tape. And the door, when it was closed, was completely sealed, so there would be no light coming in from outside. The door was locked. And in the corner of the room were two chairs where Mickey and Sarah, those were their names, Mickey and Sarah, Wolf, they sat down in the two chairs. And there was a curtain that could be pulled in front of them. So you have them in the corner, two chairs sitting there, and a few feet in front of them was a black curtain that could be pulled across a rail. So they were behind this black curtain. And so we were looking at each other, my wife and I, and said, wow, what is this? So we sat down, the six of us sat out in front of the curtain. And there, just in front of the curtain, they put what's called a trumpet. It's not really a trumpet. It's like a megaphone. You know, these megaphones that cheerleaders have at football games, etc. It's one of those kind of trumpets, but it was about a foot and a half high and had luminous paint spots on it. So that was sitting there in front of the curtain. And then when everybody was seated, and Sarah then told one of the sitters to turn off the light, and there we were in complete darkness, but we could see this little trumpet with its luminous paint on it. So after about 2 minutes, that's how long it took Sarah to go into trance, because she was the main medium, a voice would come, and the voice was a young voice, young man, an American accent, because remember, South Africa is a very distinctive accent, very different from American accent. And his voice sort of came from the side of where Sarah was sitting, from the side of where the curtain was drawn. And he started speaking to the four other people who he knew. And he started speaking to them, joking with them a little bit. And he got to us and he welcomed us. And he hoped that this would be a rewarding experience. And he told them his name was Brian. And we later found out that Brian was a young lad who lived upstate New York, was buried there. He died when he was about 19. And he now was there, what they call their main control. He was sort of introduced to everybody when the circle started. So he said he wished us all a good sitting, and then he stopped talking. And then all of a sudden, this trumpet started floating up, started moving up in the air, and started flying around the room. Now, my wife and I, well, we couldn't see each other, of course, but you know, afterwards we just talked about it. We both thought, what the hell is going on? There you have this thing flying around the room. You could see the luminous paint on it. It didn't hit anything, didn't bump anything. It went around like a bee went around, and then gently came and touched each of us on the head. Now, remember, it's totally dark. Touch each of on the head, and then touch us each on the knee. And then it would stop right in front of the curtain about 4 or 5 feet off the ground. And there in midair, somebody would start talking through this trumpet. It was a lady, I remember it well, with a German accent. Her name was Mady. And she started talking about life and the purpose of life and the philosophy of life. And so she spoke for about 10 or 15 minutes, sort of a philosophical talk. After she spoke, somebody else spoke. By this time, my wife and I were so stunned that sort of I forgot who even came next. But two other people then spoke through the trumpet. And then the trumpet flew around the room again, came and touched us, and went and deposited itself right in front of the curtain again. Now, my first thought, well, this must be Mickey. you know, Sarah's husband. He must have obviously picked up the trumpet or was tied to a string. But then I was thinking, wait a minute, this thing is flying all around the room, up to the ceiling, into the corners. It didn't bump into anything, didn't hit anything, didn't hit us. It just gently tapped us on the head. There's no way he could have seen that in the dark. So this had to be something else.
Yes.
And then...
I'm just going to summarize that for you because we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. It sounds like the trumpet was moving faster than a hand could move it around the room.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was moving in places where the hands couldn't reach, like going up to the ceiling and things like that.
Absolutely. There's no way a human could pick up the trumpet and move it all the way where it went. Yes.
Yeah, so that to me shows definite spirit presence. The other thing that you're talking about is it looks like you had trumpet mediumship, which is when the voices of the spirits come out of the trumpet itself. So that's all really, really exciting types of things, and it must have been really kind of mind-boggling for you to be exposed to that so quickly without knowing too much about mediumship.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we knew very little because there weren't the books available or the internet or anything like that. So we were just stunned. And to experience this so rapidly, we were so fortunate. And I firmly believe we were led to that. And we were so fortunate to have met these mediums.
Yes.
Because... sat with them for, I don't know when you have to break. If you have to break,
have
then I'll continue
now.
Afterwards.
So
okay.
Hold that thought, and we will find out what happened to you after you came out of this amazing experience. And we're about to go on break, and you're listening to the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. We'll be back in a minute.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
We're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. And my guest today is Dr. Jan Vandersand. And we are talking about physical phenomena. Just a quick note, if you're trying to find out about me, readings, and any information on the things that I'm up to, go to my website at www.spiritartgallery.net. And we're back to Jan, and Jan's going to tell us about some of his seance experiences.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Yes, as I was talking about, you know, this first sitting we had with Mickey and Sarah just totally flabbergasted us, my wife and I, because we'd never experienced something like this, never even thought something like this existed. Where spirits come talk to you through trumpets, where they move objects, and it was just phenomenal. And afterwards, Professor... who was a professor of anatomy at the university, Jack Allen, I said to Jack, "Jack, is this real?" He says, "Jan, this is real." He sat with these people, with these mediums, Mickey and Sarah, for many years. He says, "This is real. Believe it." And he also told me about other medium he sat with, which I'll talk about a little later, which is also phenomenal. Anyway, so with Mickey and Sarah, my wife and I actually became very good friends with them. And for the next 8 years, we sat with them regularly. Initially, we sat with them quite often. And then when they got older, they were already in their mid-60s. When they got older, it's sort of we sat less frequently. But Mickey and Sarah, by the way, never charged a dime for their sittings. And every time we went and sat with them, the trumpet would always move, always fly around the room. Brian, their control entity, would always come and talk to us, always with the same accent. But we had two seances that are really memorable we had with them, or three, I should say. The first was when one of their good friends, Kitty, who used to be a materialization medium but had stopped sitting because she was already about 70 years old. But Sarah said to her, begged her to come and sit one night so Marlene, my wife and I, could see ectoplasm. So the one night she came with her husband, Max, Mickey and Sarah sat behind the curtain as usual. Kitty sat next to the curtain, and the lights were turned off. And initially the trumpet would move around, Brian would talk, and then Brian said, "Okay, you can turn the red light on." So the red light was turned on in the room. This is the first time where it wasn't totally dark, but the red light was turned on. And Kitty went into trance. And while she was sitting there, ectoplasm. Now, ectoplasm is a white substance. I call it a living substance because when you see what happens to it, you know it's a living substance. And it comes from the body. It was called ectoplasm by Professor Richet back in 1913. And it has been analyzed by several people, and it consists of mainly constituents of the body. But it's very sensitive to light and touch. So be very careful because it could hurt the medium. Anyway, so Kitty went to trance and this ectoplasm, this white material, started pouring out of her nose and started coming down over her chest, over her legs, onto the floor. And it just poured out of her nose. And then Brian, you know, the Sarah's control, then told one of the sitters by name to pick up the end of this ectoplasm and to hold it up in the air and walk to the end side of the room. So that person picked up the ectoplasm and walked several feet. So this ectoplasm was stretched from Kitty's nose all the way across the room, which was like 8 feet, and was about 4 feet high and all the way down to the floor. So you had this white sheet of ectoplasm right in front of us. It was no more than a few feet away from me. We weren't allowed to touch it at the time, but I have touched ectoplasm since at other times. But it was there, and we were stunned to see this. And then Brian told the sitter, who was holding the ectoplasm, just to gently let it drop, and the ectoplasm gently fell to the floor and started going back into the medium kitty, sort of coming back into her nose. And that's the first time we saw ectoplasm. It was truly amazing that this material that just pours out, it must be a living substance, pours out and then goes back into the medium. Now, a lot of you who are listening and have never heard this might say it's nonsense. Believe me, I have seen it so many times. I've touched it, photographed it. So, and I will talk about in the next sitting with Mickey Sarah, which was just as stunning. At Christmas time, they used to give little Christmas sittings where they would invite 10 people, 10 sitters to come, and everybody had to bring a wrapped present and not tell Mickey or Sarah what's in it. And when we all came into the room, we had to put these presents in where around where the trumpet was, right in front of the curtain. The trumpet was there, but also Mickey and Sarah put some toys out there, a little drum, a whistle, a little bugle, these toys that give off sparks when you rub them over the ground. I forgot what they're called. These little toys, mechanical toys. And they were all put, they were there as well. And this time, Brian, as usual, would come around and he would go to everybody and talk and chat a little bit. And when he got to my wife, he said to my wife, Marlene, he says, you're going to have one of those next year. And my wife had bought a black doll because the presents afterwards were given to the black children in the community, in the black townships. So my wife had brought a black doll. Now, no one knew this because it was wrapped present. We never told Mickey and Sarah what was in there. But Brian said to my wife, you're going to have one of those next year, but it won't be. He said, but it won't be that color. And next November, my wife had a daughter. So that was even before she was expecting. But he told him, next year you're going to have one of those, it won't be that color. Anyway, so he chatted to everybody, and then the trumpet flew around a bit, trumpet sat down, and then all of a sudden, all the musical instruments started playing, all at the same time. The drum, the whistle, the bugle, all these little toys were all being played at the same time. And it was lots of noise, went on for several minutes. Then the toys were put down, and then all of a sudden you could hear all the presents being unwrapped. All the paper, you know, when presents are unwrapped, you hear them tearing. All the presents were unwrapped. And we're sitting there stunned. I mean, we've never experienced something like this before. Then when the presents were all unwrapped, all of a sudden you could feel little hands pulling on your pants. I could feel them on my pants. They would touch your hand. Little hands, you know, of little children. So what it was, these were all little spirit children who had come and materialized, had formed, and they were playing the little instruments. They were unwrapping the toys and were touching all the sitters. And we even saw one of them when one of the little children was rubbing this mechanical toy, which gave sparks, which for a fraction of a second, you could actually see these little ectoplasmic forms there very, very briefly. Now, what happens is that this ectoplasm, which I described earlier, like which came from Kitty, when it comes down to the floor, it then builds up into spirit entities. And they build up into spirit forms. And these are people who are passed away, and they then form as ectoplasmic forms and walk around the room and touch you. I can go into much more greater detail, especially when it comes to Alec Harris, who was a phenomenal, the best materialization medium ever, and who was a friend of Mickey and Sarah. So I know firsthand experiences of some of the best materialization mediums, you know, in the world. But with Mickey and Sarah, they just produced these small little children at their Christmas sittings. So these little children and came around, touched everybody, felt their hands, and we were especially told, don't grab, don't touch, just let them touch you. And they came to touch us just to let us know they were present. And they did that. Then they went back and played all the musical instruments again. And then they stopped and they were gone. So Sarah had produced this ectoplasm. The spirit formed. There must have been at least five children formed, and they were the ones who played the instruments, unwrapped the presents, and came and touched us.
Now, I have to tell you that since we're getting near Christmas, yes, it's time. I've also been to a Christmas seance where something very similar happened. It was with Scott Milligan, and the children came and played all the instruments, and they opened all the toys. And it was black. So what happened at the end of the seance was that when they turned the light on, the room was a mess. I mean, there was just paper everything everywhere. Not only that, the Christmas tree they had in the room, which was an artificial one, was broken in half. So, yes. It's quite an experience, but we're now about to go on another break here. And when we come back, we'll continue talking to Dr. Jan VanderSant. And this, when we come back, we're going to talk about him being a scientist and interested in mediumship. So I'm Dr. Susan Barnes. You're listening to the Psychic Professor Show, and we'll be back in a moment.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
We're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes, and my guest today is Dr. Jan VanderSant, and he is going to tell us about what it's like to be a scientist and a believer in physical phenomena. Jan?
Okay, thank you, Susan. Yeah, so after we spent the many years in South Africa, after I got my PhD, we went back to the U.S. You know, it was a bit sad. We left Mickey and Sarah. But at the time, also, Professor Allen, the professor of anatomy at the university, gave me four photographs of a medium where he took photographs in one of the seances. He sat with his medium five times, and these are the best photographs of materializations I have ever seen. They are in my book, and I want to mention my book now in case anybody's interested, in materializations, photographs of materializations, and a lot of descriptions of physical phenomena. The book is called Life After Death, Some of the Best Evidence. So Life After Death, Some of the Best Evidence. And the picture on the cover is what I believe is the best materialization photograph I have ever seen. I think you've seen the photograph, Susan. And
yes.
I don't know if you want to disagree with me, but I think, and the reason I love that is, it's not someone who's wrapped in a white sheet. All the flows of the ectoplasm, the drapery, everything around the entity is there. And the most impressive part of that photograph is all the ectoplasm on the floor behind the spirit materialization, because he is still tied, the materialization, to the medium with ectoplasm. And all this ectoplasm, you could see it clearly on the floor, and that went back to the medium. Anybody who was trying to do this as a fraud, you don't do that. It's not possible. But that photograph is impressive. So Professor Allen gave me those four photographs. That here, Jan, here they are. This is what we took with this medium, who was 100% honest. He vouched for him, sat with him five times. He says it was incredible. And I use these photographs in my book. The trouble is I only wrote my book when I retired in 2008. And the reason is partly the following. When we left South Africa and I got my PhD, we went back to Cornell where I was a professor. I was a professor there, and of course, having experienced psychic phenomena, I talked to some people, professors, friends of mine, who might be interested. And it was unbelievable the kind of reception I got. The kind of thing like, you believe in that? You must be crazy. You show them a photograph and they say, that's not possible, it can't be possible, doesn't exist, be outside of the laws of physics, not possible. There were a few of them that were a bit agnostic and said, well, they just don't know. Because when I heard my experience, they said, wow, looks like, you know, it really was genuine. I said, it was genuine. So the reception you get from other scientists is unbelievably critical. And it is just so stunning. They're not even willing to read the evidence or look at the evidence. And there's so much literature now. And there's good literature, well-written books by many people who have got very credible evidence. The sad part about this is that during the early spiritualist days, when there were a lot of materializations, there were also a lot of frauds. A lot of people who took advantage of people who'd lost their children or their husband or wife, and who then did materializations and were blatantly frauds. So material spiritualism got a bad name in those days because of the frauds. But because there's one fraud doesn't mean that everybody's a fraud. And nowadays it's a lot more difficult with photography and film and photos. And people like Suze and myself who sat with people with genuine mediums know what to look for. Anyway, so it was so disappointing that these scientists criticized and ridiculed me like that. At that time, Randy the Magician, some of you might have heard about him. He hasn't been around. I think he's too old now. He might have even passed away. He came to Cornell to give demonstrations and debunk physical phenomena. I was asked if I wanted to meet with him, and I said, sure. So I had a private meeting with Randy, the magician, he calls himself, the debunker of the psychic. And I showed him the four photographs that I'd been given by Professor Allen of ectoplasm and materializations. And he looked at him, he says, all fraud. I said, what do you mean, fraud? Oh, I can do all that. I said, okay. I said, I will give you $10,000. I will tie you to a chair like the mediums were. And you produce this ectoplasm and you produce materializations, I'll give you $10,000. And if you fail, you give me $10,000. Now, this was back in 1981. $10,000 was still, you know, some money. He said, oh, no. Oh, yeah, we'll do it sometime. I said, no, let's do it now. Come on. you're available tonight. Let's do it. Oh, no, no, can't do it tonight, you know. And you knew he couldn't do it. He was just making money out of debunking it and telling everybody how it's fraudulent. And he does a little tricks with sleight of hand, but when it comes to ectoplasm materialization, he's a fraud. And I'll say him in his face, he's a total fraud. So those are the kind of experiences I had. And then I went after I was a professor, I was in the business world, and eventually I was a scientist at the Jet Propulsion Lab here in California. I spoke to some people there about it. Again, they look at you like, what, are you a nutcase? That doesn't exist. And it was so difficult to get people interested in this. There was a rare exception of some people who were willing to listen. But this is so sad, Susan, that these scientists who should know better. You experiment, you look, you read the evidence, you look at the evidence, but they weren't even willing to do that. Just offhand, they would say nonsense. So it's very disappointing. So when I retired, that's when I wrote my book. Like I said, Life After Death, some of the best evidence. And I got tremendous reviews. And still, friends of mine, scientists, would still poo-poo me. Although some of them actually did read the book and phoned me and said, wow, you have something here. Maybe you should stop criticizing it and, you know, give it some more thought. So there are some people that changed their mind, but most scientists I found extremely disappointing. I have no hesitation talking about it, about this, my experiences. I know it is real, it exists, and I've seen it and experienced it. So why should not talk about it? And the most incredible stories I heard was from Mickey and Sarah. They sat with Alec Harris. Now, you've heard of Alec Harris, Susan?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So Alec Harris was born in Wales. He became a materialization medium. He would have seances where he would have 30 or 40 guests, and he would produce, listen to this, everybody, he would produce up to 30 different materialized spirits in a sitting, you know, all at different times. He would sit behind the curtain. They would walk out. They would talk to people there. A lot of them were relatives of some of the people who were sitting there in the room. Incredible. And the reason I know this is because when Alec Harris, he then in 60, in the early 60s, he moved to South Africa, he and his wife, because their son got a job in South Africa. They moved to South Africa, and they moved to Johannesburg, where Mickey and Sarah were, and Mickey and Sarah met them and sat with them several times. So they described some of these seances they had with Alec Harris. And the two most phenomenal seances were where Mickey said a big red Native American materialized, bare-chested, with a feather in his head, with typical Indian dressing. He called Mickey and said, Mickey, I am your guide. And Mickey went up and spoke to him. And this was all in red light. Alec Harris produced all his materializations in red light. And Mickey stood in front of him and he said, Mickey, I want you to touch me. So Mickey touched him, because we've always been told, don't touch ectoplasm unless you're asked to. And then the guide said to Mickey, hit me. So Mickey gently tapped him on the chest. He said, come on, that's not a hit. Hit me. So Mickey hit him harder, and nothing happened. They just like, bang, the materialization was fine. And he said, you see, Mickey, we're alive. And he spoke to Mickey. And then the most incredible thing happened, Mickey said. The Indian then, instead of going behind the curtain and disappearing, he slowly went into the floor, disappeared into the floor, at all the time talking to him while he sank into the floor. And the ectoplasm still went back to the medium, Alec Harris. And it's only when his head was above the floor, he was still talking to him. I mean, think about that. So this is just so stunning. It's unbelievable. I totally believe this because Mickey and Sarah, they were eyewitnesses to this, saw this. I totally believe them. And then the entity would sink back into the floor. Now, Alec Harris produced these seances time and time again, like 20, 30 different materializations come, women, children, relatives of some of the sitters. And relatives that had, where one of them was an example of someone who'd lost a leg, was there, came. And He came there without a leg because the brother recognized him that way. It was just unbelievable. And then, sadly enough, the following thing happened to Alec Harris. In one of his seances, and they were very careful in who they invited because it was so dangerous if you do something to the materialization or to the medium. And someone managed to get in from a newspaper people. Two newspaper people managed to get some of the tickets. They weren't for sale, but they were tickets to come in. And they got them from somebody in a fraudulent way because they wanted to expose Alec Harris as a fraud. And they were in the seance, and the spirit entity would come and talk to everybody, walk around, and one of these newspaper men jumped on the spirit form, thinking it was Alec Harris dressed in a sheet. And the ectoplasm just surged back into Alec Harris, into his stomach, and he had to be taken to hospital. And the newspaper man, of course, realized it was total blunder and total nonsense, but Alec Harris was never the same again, Susan. He never produced full materializations again after that happened, and he nearly died because of the ectoplasm shooting back into him.
Yes.
And this is what happened.
The danger. That's the danger with physical mediumship, and that's why you have to be careful of the people that you invite into these seances, because that's not the only person I've heard that's had problems that because of that. And we're about to go on to another break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Jan about some contemporary mediums that are working today. So, okay, we're on break.
Hi there, this is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio. If you've listened to the show, you know I talk a lot about listening to your body. Here's the deal. Listening to your body takes quieting your mind, and I want to teach you how. Actually, we're going to start right now. Take a deep breath, a truly deep breath, all the way to the top of your inhale, and then exhaling to the very bottom of your belly. Breathing. Feeding your body the oxygen and fuel it needs. This is the first step in listening to your body. There's more, but it's so easy. I want to share a quick meditation with you to help you instantly reconnect with yourself and listen to your body. Simply go to audreymichelle.com/tips and download it for free today. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/tips.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
And we're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. And I just want to let you know, if you can find out more information about me by going to www.spiritartgallery.net. And the Spirit Art Gallery is also the sponsor for this particular show. And we are talking to Dr. Jan Vandersand, and we're now going to move up to some more contemporary mediums that are alive today. Jan, could you tell us about them?
Yeah, I'd love to, Susan. I just want to mention that in my book, I discuss some of these contemporary mediums. I discuss the old ones, the more recent ones in the 20th century, and then some of the ones currently. And I discuss them all. And my book is available on Amazon.com and Kindle, or the book. The book is more impressive because you get the photographs of dematerializations. So that's life after death, some of the best evidence. But there's one medium that I brought out to Los Angeles, where I live, and that's David Thompson. David came, and unfortunately, David did it professionally. He's now temporarily retired. He did it professionally, so we did have to charge for it, because otherwise the guy can't make a living. So we brought him out from Australia, where he lived. He came to L.A. here, and we had three sittings, three seances, and we also had some clairvoyance. He does clairvoyance as well. The most impressive seance was, or at least I should say, in every seance he does, and I have brought him back again 2 years later in every for three more seances. Every seance we've had, he goes into trance and he's tied completely to a chair with these tree ties. These plastic tree ties. So he's really strapped to a chair, his two arms and his two legs. They put a cloth through his mouth, tied behind him, so he can't talk. And he wears a cardigan. He always wears that same cardigan. So he's really tied to a chair, sits behind a curtain in the corner of the room or in a little cabinet that we constructed some plastic PVC rods and a black curtain. And he would go into trance, and his spirit guide would come out of the cabinet. Now, this is all done in dark, in pitch dark, because remember, these spirit ectoplasmic formations are very sensitive to light. Only really the very exceptional mediums, like an Alec Harris, all his materializations were in red light. Or that kitty, the one we experienced, was in red light. But that's very rare, that you'd see the full ectoplasmic materializations in red light. So his guide would come out and would walk around the room and touch most of the sitters on the head and talk to them individually. And they can feel his hand, and you can hear him walk around. He walks around in boots, whereas David had sneakers on. And his hand was quite a big hand, whereas David has very small hands. And he had a very distinct British voice. He would come and talk to everybody and touch most people. And he would talk to people about, hey, I'm here to show you that there is life after death. Don't fear death. We're all going to die, but you're going to go to the spirit world. And he would come and talk to everybody, and he would answer questions. And every time I sat with David, which was six times, this same entity, his main guide, would come and talk to us. Then he would have a young little lad, God, I forgot his name, he was about 9 years old, a British little British lad who spoke with a British accent, and he would do the trumpet flying. So you saw this trumpet flying around the room. One time, I brought two of my own trumpets to the seance. So there were three trumpets. And believe it or not, Susan, all three of them were flying around the room. Now, there's a good example of people who say, David Thompson's a fraud. He moves the trumpet. Well, here there were three trumpets flying around the room. And the room we were sitting was very high. You couldn't touch the ceiling. Even if you stood on a chair, it almost was impossible. Very high ceilings and a very big room. And these trumpets were flying. All three of them were flying around the room, which I found very impressive. And they all had luminous paint, so you could see them. A lot of the sitters were touched with the trumpets. And then also David would produce additional materializations. One of the ones he produces, and a lot of people say, oh, it must be fraud, is Louis Armstrong. And he sings one of his classic songs. I forgot, of course, which one it is. But, you know, Louis Armstrong has this very gravelly, characteristic voice. And what was the song he sang? Oh, no, you never sat with David. It was a very characteristic song of one of Louis Armstrong's songs. And it sounded just like him, I must admit. I mean, if David could do that, as people claim he must be a fraud. Well, if he could sing like that, he should go to Las Vegas and he'll make himself millions, because to sing Louis Armstrong songs like that was unbelievable. And several other entities would come. But one of the sittings we had, there was a medium there who I know here from Johannesburg, Brian Hurst. Brian came. He, you know, before the sitting, he would, you know, he would never introduce anybody to David, so David didn't know who the sitters were. And Brian, who happened to know Leslie Flint. Now, Leslie Flint was a direct voice medium, the best British direct voice medium. This is where the ectoplasm forms next to the medium, and the voices speak through ectoplasmic voice box to the sitters. Leslie did that for a living all his life. But David didn't know Brian Hurst was there. David didn't know that Brian Hurst knew Leslie Flint. And who materialized Leslie Flint? It was quite amazing, Susan. I mean, you know who Leslie Flint is.
Yes.
And Leslie then walked over to Brian and said, Brian, this is Leslie. And they chatted. And he gave names and addresses of people they knew. And Brian Hurst afterwards swore to me, he says, Jan, that was genuinely Leslie Flint. And Leslie Flint only died in 1999 or so. And he materialized and came and spoke to Brian, because he spent a few years in Los Angeles where Brian got to know him. So they knew each other. But David Thompson knew nothing about that. So that I found incredibly impressive. When someone in front of you comes and speaks to him like that. So that was really one of these impressive kind of sittings. Now, David hopefully will start sitting again. If he does, and if he ever comes to the U.S., and if anybody ever gets a chance, he's definitely one of the people, even if it costs you $200 or $300, it is worth every penny of it. And I don't know if you know of any materialization mediums, but there's so few, it is so sad that there's so few of them that do this, because first of all, you have to make a living, so you have to charge for it. And secondly, the dangers are unbelievable.
Yeah.
You heard what I said about Alec Harris, how about he nearly died. There's one very famous medium who died a few months after someone, you know, jumped on the ectoplasm. So it is very dangerous. So for someone to do this professionally, it is so risky. And that's why we just don't have a lot of these materialization mediums, you know, performing anymore, because of the dangers involved. It's sad.
It is sad. And I mean, there's also some other reasons for it, is that you really need dedicated people to sit with you. And that might be a topic for another show. But anyway, we're just about out of time here. And I really want to thank you, Jan, for sharing your experiences with us and really telling us about all of this phenomena that most people are probably not familiar with. And I would suggest that people look at Jan's book. I've read it. It's wonderful. Would highly recommend it. It's called Life After Death. And with that being said, I'm going to say thank you very, very much for being my guest today. It was a real joy. And you are listening to the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. And we'll see you again next week. So Thank you very much for tuning in and hope you tune in again. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Psychic Professor's Show with Dr. Susan Barnes, the Voices of Spirit Radio. Dr. Barnes' deep knowledge of spiritual issues provides an hour of lively talk and discussion about everything from historical facts to trance communication. To download this show or any past shows, or to learn more about Dr. Susan and her spirit-inspired art, visit spiritartgallery.net.